Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What a bass town! Hey, how we doing? It's the Monday after Super Bowl on The Usual Suspects. And, of course, the loyal ones, the original suspects, Felix and Oscar, if you will. Barry and Joel here, Nick there in Las Vegas. So welcome in the man, the myth, the legend, the man who had to literally tweet coming attractions to let the whole world know he'd be filling in on the suspects today, Trey Campbell. You know him as Juggalo, Trey. Trey, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for the intro. I appreciate it. Thank you to everybody who retweeted that tweet. Thanks to my mom.
You didn't win an Oscar.
Yeah,
Why are you? What are you doing?
Is that an acceptance speech or just, hey, I'm ready to go and I'm not going to screw up today?
I'm going to try not to. I think we're going to be all right, though.
I have faith in you. I have 100%. I have full confidence and faith in you, Trey.
I appreciate that.
That you can do this with no issues, no problems, none, zero.
Plus, we're not going to hammer you if you do like other shows that remain nameless.
I'm totally going to hammer him if he messes up.
I understand.
That's probably true, too. And I will say that for all of you that love the Trey song, Trey songs, see what I did there? And you think, well, that was all just production. No, Barry and I were sitting down in the production meeting, and Trey actually just in the middle of a conversation did the, yeah. So it was, it's pretty organic, as you would say, Barry.
You kind of did.
No, I didn't.
I mean, it's a little, but let's not argue in the first segment.
Boy.
How did your Sunday go?
It was okay.
What, did y'all eat a lot of food?
Lisa said it was a prerequisite. I hate that. She ropes me into it half the time.
It's a what do you mean?
She's like, I mean, it's Super Bowl, right? So we got to eat bad. I go, do we?
Yeah,
I went to the gym, and I had a smoothie after that, and I was doing really well. Then she came in. She goes, what's for dinner? And I go, why are you asking me? And she goes, well, because I've got to get your approval if we're going to eat bad. And I go, well, don't we eat bad? We have a cheat meal on Saturday night. She goes, yeah, but it's Super Bowl. You got to eat bad. I was like, okay.
She's right, though.
All right.
Why wouldn't you eat bad on Super Bowl? I don't understand.
Because you're not at a party, so it's not a bigger deal. So you're just sitting at home watching the game. You don't have to eat bad. Anyway, we did, okay?
What did you eat?
We got takeout from Bex Prime. They completely screwed up the entire order. We're done doing takeout. Because every time we go do takeout, something gets screwed up. And yesterday was no different.
Yeah, you
what
didn't have
sounds
it good.
Like what in saying chicken sandwich, what sounds like that will be a burger?
You got a burger? Do you not check your order first?
She went and picked it up this time. Normally, I get it. She went and picked it up because she didn't want me to miss any of the pregame, any of the game itself. She comes home. She puts out all the food. She's like, yeah, yours is over there. I go to sit down. I go, so is this a trick question? What about my chicken sandwich order looks like a burger? She goes, no, they didn't. I go, yeah, they did. So that already, it was a joke. What did you eat?
We call it red fajita meat. It's this fajita meat from this little meat market in Nora's neighborhood, or her old where her mom lives, where she grew up.
Yeah,
it's called Northside. It's just off of Cross Timbers,
okay.
It's off of Irvington. It's called La Potosina.
Don't look at me ask if that's right.
Potosina, La Potosina. I don't know. And they make the best marinated fajita meat. So we just got 4 pounds of that, and then made pigs in a blanket, queso, guacamole.
Oh, yeah.
Some chips.
Did it up.
Did it up big.
Attaboy.
Nora outdrank me by a country mile. It was sad. I was just, you know, I'm not a big drinker. I look up. I've had, I think I had 3 beers the whole day. Nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. My wife went through a 6-pack plus
Damn.
In under 4 hours.
Wow. I was like, rolling.
Man, she was getting it. Yeah. So, but we, with her sister and her niece and mom all came over and hung out and. I watched Super Bowl with 4 women. That's the life I live.
So it was ladies' night at the Laminack House.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because watching it, I was thinking about it today. I was like, I feel like a lot of the game was a blur. I remember taking notes and watching, and I was fully invested in it. But when you got so much going on at the house, mm-hmm. it's really difficult to pay attention.
I felt like, unlike years past.
It's just you
past,
and Lisa, right?
Yeah. And the kids, and obviously the kids are a handful, because mm-hmm. like Taylor kept wanting to come into the kitchen, I mean into the living room with her iPad on high volume,
yeah,
to like play the JoJo song, and Lisa wasn't. I was like, either I'm going to the man cave or that's got to stop.
I was
going to
say, why don't you just tell Lisa? Lisa, I'm working here. I have to watch this.
I used the line twice.
I do that too. I'd be like, sorry guys, I have to pause this and back it up. And every time it was if Mahomes was under pressure or threw an interception or was sacked or whatever, I would have to go back. And did they rush anybody? Were the Niners just rushing 4?
Right.
Or what? So yeah. So they were like, ugh. Do you do this every time you watch football? I'm like, it's a job.
Yeah, and so I dropped that line on her twice. She goes, well, you know what? You got that job before you had a second kid. And I was like, well, then you and the 2 kids can go somewhere else. And that didn't go over great, but it worked. But yeah, I mean, I was just watching it at the house, and it just seemed like, unlike years past, which sometimes the game seems to go on for like 4.5 hours, it seemed like it went along at a pretty quick pace. Third quarter especially kind of blew by.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It did feel faster paced than normal.
Yeah. So,
because it's usually a 4-hour game with everything when the Super Bowl.
But I kept looking at the promos for like Trey's favorite show, the Masked Singer, and then they were and then the next show after that, and I'm going, what are they going to go to like 1 a.m.? Because by the time the game's over, to put 2 more shows on top of that before you get to local news and stuff,
right?
Crazy.
That we need to talk about all that, because there are shows out there where I'm like, who watches this crap? And then I found out Trey watches one of them for sure.
Yep.
It was awesome.
We got to break down the. Did you watch the game, buddy?
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
I watched most of it.
Did Where? You watch all the commercials?
Yeah. Not all of them, but I had to. I was like with my friend, and I picked him up, and I watched on the stream on the way up there, and then like I watched the rest of it.
Up where?
Like I was on the way up to Stratford. I was going to my friend's house.
Is it Stafford or Stratford?
Yeah, Stafford. Mm.
Okay. So you watched it at a friend's house?
Yeah, with my friend Mario.
Oh, yeah, I didn't need his
name.
Shout
out for Mario.
Did you take notes when you watch football games so you can come on the air and talk about it?
No, not usually. I just take mental notes, you know.
Okay.
He's more advanced than you.
Gotcha.
No, I'm not. You're way more advanced than that. There's a reason they're paying you to talk about sports and not me.
Easy. Did you eat bad food?
Yeah, I had a Wendy's chicken sandwich. That's about it.
Fries? Really.
That's what you consider fries. Eating bad, Trey, is having a chicken sandwich?
Yeah.
I literally have that 5 days a week.
Yeah, I'm trying to, like, eat more at home.
Oh, so you're eating bad means spending money.
Yeah.
I was going to say, trying to eat bad, so I ate at home, but you had Wendy's.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. My friend got a bunch of stuff from Wendy's, and he just gave me a chicken sandwich. So
you didn't even pay for it? You're just mooching off your friend?
No, not really. I'm not mooching off my friend.
Did you pay for it?
No, I didn't.
You're mooching off your friend.
Okay, well, I guess if you put it that way, then...
It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is. Right in the first segment, I tried to tell you, you did it!
I don't know what you're talking about.
Jeez! So, obviously, there's a lot to get to. 713-780-3776. That's our HRP listener line. We want to hear from you. Obviously, you saw the game. A lot of people have tried to regurgitate it locally and nationally to this point. This is brought... why we are here where we are, because we want your input so we can have a discussion. So you can call or text that line. You can also reach us via Twitter, which is at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And DJ Trey, what are you going by these days?
Just call me whatever you want.
No, your Twitter handle.
Oh, okay. Juggalo_Trey48.
There you go. and you can reach Trey. And we'll be very much interactive throughout the next 3 hours as we break down Super Bowl commercials, halftimes, all kinds of things. Super Bowl. There was a Rockets game. There's rumors out there about a trade scenario.
James Harden.
Lots of other things. No, don't be so lucky. And also, can I just say this?
No.
Because after, you know, because the game was close to like news time. So Lisa flips over to the news at 10. So I was like, I went and started putting on other channels to see what the post game was like. Chris Berman? Oh my God, man, just stop. It's passed you by. And it's like, it passed him so far that like his questions, he looked at Randy Moss at one point and Steve Young on the desk with him interviewing Kelsey and Andy Reid and all these guys. And he went, I mean, I'll get to you guys in a minute, but let me ask my third straight question. And Steve Young and Randy Moss were like, is he serious? He's just going to keep going. And his questions were like, and every single one, the last one was, wait for it now. How's this going to feel when I say to you for the first time, Travis Kelsey, Super Bowl champion? And they all just looked at him like, what are you doing? Then he asks Andy Reid's wife a question because she was between them. No mic. So he takes his mic on his headset and bends it towards her face and then gets real close to her. I'm like, oh, dude, you just got to call it a career.
I don't know why you would watch that.
Because it was ESPN.
That doesn't mean it's you have to watch it.
Okay. Well,
you
it was
know
awful.
Me and my
it was officially
aversion to Chris awful. Berman. Yeah.
He needs
anything
to
and everything he does is pretty bad.
Yeah, in my mind, he just needs to go back, gone. Just that's
I
enough.
Would agree.
That's the end. All right, so we're just getting started. We're looking forward to hearing from you as we kick around all things Super Bowl and otherwise. It's the usual suspects on a Monday, right here on ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston SaberCats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, as we said, just getting started on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Trey in for Nick, who's on his way back from Vegas. It's Barry and myself. We take it till 4 o'clock. We know by now everybody's talked about the Super Bowl, broken it down six ways from Sunday, and had their opinions. So we're ready to join in the fray. We obviously got you started because everybody did something for Super Bowl, and it's the most watched television program. It's in America, and I also think it's probably the biggest. What would you say the biggest caloric intake of the year?
No doubt
for any one.
One
day.
Of them for sure.
Yeah. So sorry to bore you with all that, but we'll get down to the game itself now. Obviously, you had a lot of thoughts. I had a lot of thoughts. To me, the first thing that kind of I thought the Chiefs had a chance to really take control. After the Niners kind of threw the first punch in the first quarter and then, you know, only getting a field goal after the turnover, I thought was a big turning point. But, you know what, overall, I don't think the game itself disappointed. I think people, it was...
I was going to ask you, did you think this was one of the better Super Bowls?
You know, as a football... See, I think as just someone that's watching it casually because they're at a party, I don't think they would have found a lot of enjoyment out of it because it wasn't like scoring, you know, all kinds of scoring and big plays. But I think as a football fan, you wanted a close game that went down to the final minutes of the fourth quarter and both teams had their shots. That's what I liked about it.
Yeah, I don't think it was like super exciting. There was no real major controversy. There was no... I didn't feel like there was any super flashy plays. I mean, you obviously, at the end of the first half, you had some discussion about Shanahan with clock management, and then you had the PI and some other things going on. I felt like it was kind of a vanilla kind of Super Bowl. It was, on a scale of 1 to 10, it was a 6, maybe?
I can go with that. Yeah, I don't think it was like super, like you said, I don't think it's going to go down in history as one of the greatest of all time.
Right.
But I think you look at it, too, and a lot of things, there weren't a lot of plays of 20-plus yards. And when there were, I mean, you look at it, and I looked at it, and I went back and looked at it three or four different times. Mahomes was not on his game. He got most valuable player. But even the ones that he completed, the long play on the third down that they had to have to Tyreek Hill, was a duck, and it was wobbling. I mean, if he hits him in stride, he scores.
Yeah.
there was just a lot of those. I mean, even the
one
that
he was definitely off.
Yeah, and he was the one that he threw that ended up being picked that Tyreek Hill got his hands on. Everybody thought it was Tyreek Hill's fault. It was behind him.
Yeah.
And it was thrown 100 miles an hour, did he?
Yeah. Aikman said so on the broadcast that he threw it behind him.
I just think he threw it. He just seemed like it might, whether it was just the overexcitement of a Super Bowl or for whatever reason, he just didn't seem to be his normal self.
Yeah, he was a little off. You felt like, I mean, early on, I was like, uh-oh, it looks like the Niners, they had, I mean, they loved getting Samuel on that jet sweep or the end around and getting him out in space, and it proved to be pretty effective early on. It didn't surprise me a ton that the Niners were able to get the edge on the Chiefs, but, you know, you felt like as the game went on, that Chiefs defense started to figure things out a little bit, put things together. I mean, 20 points isn't too bad when you consider that this was the second highest scoring offense in football with the Niners, and they only gave up 20, 10 in each half. It's a pretty good job by that Chiefs defense, who was pretty underrated by a lot of people. And I think, you know, the Chiefs offense obviously is what it is. It's been like that all year. It sputtered and didn't look great until the fourth quarter, but boy, when they got it going, they got it going. And Patrick Mahomes showed up to be Patrick Mahomes in the fourth quarter.
He did. And a couple of things, too. I mean, that defense early on, they were running it down their throat a little bit. They were moving the football. And you were like, well, can they recover? But whether you give total credit to Steve Spagnuolo or just the fact that when they needed two big stops, when they were down 10 points and it looked like they were on the verge of teetering and just completely getting put away, they got two big stops, two consecutive stops of drives, got the ball back, and let Mahomes do his thing. I thought that was huge.
Yeah, the Chiefs defense had several moments, including that first field goal by the Niners where they were a bend but don't break defense. They only gave up a field goal after the Niners got a three and out on the Chiefs. So it was, again, hats off to that Chiefs defense. They had a couple interceptions that they forced on Garoppolo. They only had the one sack, but they did enough. And same thing for that Chiefs offense. You just felt like at some point things were going to break. And the more that Tyreek Hill got involved and the more that they were able to get a few runs here and there by Damian Williams, who I feel like his game went underappreciated. I mean, he rushed for 100 bucks.
I thought he could be MVP.
He rushed for 100 yards, 100 bucks, 100 yards.
Two touchdowns, right?
Yeah. Well, no, he had the one touchdown rushing, and I think he had one receiving touchdown.
Yeah, but I'm saying two touchdowns in the game.
But he had 100 yards rushing, 30 yards receiving. So, I mean, good game by him. But Mahomes is just unbelievable. I mean, he's one of those guys. There were a few times when they would get him out of the pocket, and we talked about it. Credit to San Francisco. They did what we kind of talked about, what I thought they would do. They only rushed for him most of the time. Occasionally they would blitz, force Mahomes to his right, which I didn't at one point, which I thought was kind of odd. I think I would be bringing the blitz from the right side, Mahomes' right side, defense's left, but they chose not to. But, you know, getting him out of the pocket, that was a good thing. But they only rushed for most of the game, and he still got almost 300 yards passing. So he's just good. I mean, that's just what he is. Patrick Mahomes is the Super Bowl MVP.
He had 100 and change at the break. So he didn't have a stellar first half.
Nope.
Everybody kept saying we're waiting for them to open it up. But I think if you're a Niners fan, and obviously, like you said, there wasn't too much controversy. There wasn't anything that you could say. I mean, look, if you want to say that the play on the pylon at the corner of the end zone, was he in, was he out, you know, did he get
that
in
time?
That was
pretty close. There was an offsides I saw that I don't think it mattered, but there was a couple of officiating miscues.
The play clock on the one that they kept reviewing to.
So here's the thing, and people don't realize this, I don't think, on the play clock. But once it hits zero, it's actually, you still have another second, because if you think about it, if you had a stopwatch counting backwards that was doing tenths and hundreds of a second, when it goes from 2 to 1, it goes, the one shows up as 199, 98, 97 in hundredths of a second. Well, the same thing would be for zero. So that's why they'll give the offense an extra beat when the play clock hits zero. They'll give them a 1001 because you still have the 0.99 seconds left when it goes to zero.
But it looked like it took longer than that. And if you look at the replay, the back judge is ready to call it.
And then they snapped it within the 1 second. So I didn't have a problem with that. There was a blow to the head when Mahomes was in the pocket that got missed.
He wanted one of them.
No, well, he was out running at that point. You don't get that.
Yeah, he wanted it. though.
There was one in the pocket. There was a lined up. The Niners were lined up off. Or no, the Chiefs were lined up offsides, I believe. But there were a couple of missed calls. Nothing awful. Like somebody asked me, did I think it was a poorly officiated game? No. I mean, they made a few mistakes. I mean, nothing egregious.
The bottom line is, if you're not talking about the referees by name today, then they did a pretty good job.
I'll be honest with you. The biggest part of the whole Super Bowl was the halftime show. That was the most exciting part of the whole thing.
Enjoyed it. Loved it.
I thought it was literally the most exciting part of the whole game.
Who do you like better?
The football was okay, but the halftime show was pretty awesome.
Who'd y'all like better, J-Lo or
Shakira? Won that by a mile.
That was the matchup everybody was talking about.
Yeah, welcome to the usual suspects. Shakira won that. We've been doing it for like 3 months.
Shakira won that hands down.
I like J-Lo.
I do too like J-Lo better.
I felt like when she came out with that first outfit on, I was like, God, why do I see her panty liner? I didn't realize it was a second outfit underneath it, but it looked weird.
Yeah. Didn't she go in with the whole dominatrix vibe?
She looked like she was trying too hard. Let's be real. She looked like she was a 50-year-old woman trying to hang on to her 30s. That's how it came across to me. Shakira was just hot. Like, Shakira was just, I'm 43 and I'm still sexy. J-Lo, I felt like, tried too hard.
I didn't know Shakira.
Kind of like the Niners in the second half.
I thought
Shakira. Oh yeah,
she's talented.
Oh, she plays guitar, drums. Yeah,
and she la 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 la. That was weird. That was weird.
It was very awkward the way it came out. A lot of guys were slow moing it anyway. But,
she did the little tongue thing, and I was like, "Oh, you do have it? Yeah. What was this? What was this about?" Do it again, Trey. That was the weirdest part of the whole game.
It was a little awkward.
She did, and I feel like she meant to do it a different way, and it just, I don't know what happened. I don't know why did that.
I can guess what I think the hopeful outcome was, but I'm not going to do that.
It was like weird hot. It was like, that's weird and kind
of
hot.
But of course, you've always been in her camp, and I've always been in J-Lo's camp. J-Lo's in phenomenal shape.
Somebody tweeted, for 50. When she made that sound, it was like me trying to pronounce Juszczyk.
That's pretty funny.
That's funny.
Did you feel about Shanahan handling that last drive of the first half? Do you think he messed it up?
Oh yeah,
Did you hear his explanation?
I did not.
So he came out and he explained that he basically, there's a minute left. The last thing they wanted to do was leave time on the clock by calling timeouts, and then something happened for that Chiefs offense, which can, you know, is a quick strike offense. The last thing he wanted to do was leave time on the clock for them to go down and possibly get a field goal. So he felt like not calling the timeout was the right thing to do. I don't know.
Your general manager is on TV up in the box doing the same thing, going, call timeout, call timeout.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, though, you don't run the ball, right? Like, I mean, they ran the ball. You're not going to run the ball and call timeout. If you're concerned about time with a minute left in the half, that's why I understand his reasoning is like, look, we're happy going in 10-10. We're good with that. We trust our defense. We trust our offense.
You get the ball to start the second
half. Yeah, you just run the ball. They use their timeouts great. All you got to do is get a first down. You're good. And they had that long play to Kittle in that drive. But
pushed off.
Yeah.
Of all people, the only person that had a problem with that call, Clarence.
Really?
Oh my God! Tweeting about this.
That was an obviously OPI.
Yeah,
that
was a Saints fan.
Obvious OPI.
I got the. If you're a Niners fan today, there's one play that just sticks out in my mind as saying you were going to replay that in your mind over and over again. And so we'll talk about.
On record, I had no idea. No problem with the way that Shanahan handled the end of the first half.
And I did.
Because I get it. You don't want to, you know, three quick passes.
They weren't clicking.
You don't want to have three quick passes that are incomplete, and you leave 40 seconds on the clock for Mahomes to go down and get a field goal. Now you're going in. They score. It's not good. I get why he did it. It was poorly executed, but I get why he did it.
Okay. Fine. All right. So we'll continue to roll on. Lots more to get to on the Super Bowl. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. You can text that number. You can call that number, and we'll have you on the show, or you can just tweet us. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. If you notice with all the recent rains and storms that your roof is leaking a little bit, or you've just been thinking about putting a new roof on your house, there's only one place to go. It's Fitz Roofing. They don't have the storm chasers mentality, deposit thieves that come take your money up front and don't do very good work, and you can never get in touch with them. They do business here in Houston because they're from Houston, and so they're going to make sure that you, the people of Houston, are extremely happy. Their ratings back it up. A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau. Five-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. All you got to do is check them out online, FITZRoofing.com. Better yet, call them, 832-521-3001. Reason why I say that, you call, you get a free no-obligation inspection today. They come to your house, tell you what they can do, they go back to doing their business. If you want them to come back, reach back out. They're going to do fantastic work, great customer service, and they use the best product in the business, CertainTeed Shingles. They are a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States meet the criteria to get that status. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. Their base warranties longer than and better than your average roofer. There's no reason why you should go anywhere else. Again, FitzRoofing.com or 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Half hour into The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, it's Joel, and Nick out. So Trey in, his first appearance as an official producer on the show. As we bring a long time into his first time as an actual working member of the Suspects. We were talking about the game itself. I think if you're a Niners fan, and I kept thinking about this, because I know if I was one, boy, it would chat. It's hard to look past this. You know I've been critical of Jimmy G. And I know he got off to a great start by, you know, he managed the game. You know, he was, 19 of his first 21 or something like that. Not for huge yards or anything, but he kept it going. But I wanted to see him when it got to nut-cutting time and it got, you know, the pressure got up and everything like that. I'm telling you, man, if I'm a Niners fan, I'm reviewing and rewinding in my head that deep ball about 16 times over that he overthrew because he was wide open and that would have changed everything.
No guarantee that it wins the game, but it does certainly make it a different ball game.
That's what I'm saying. Sure. It would have changed everything. I don't know how the outcome would have done if he'd have completed it, but boy, he was open, and that's a pass you just got to make.
Yeah, you feel that way, but I mean, there are countless people that do miss those throws. That's the difference between a guy like Garoppolo and a guy like Mahomes, or a guy like Garoppolo and a guy like, you know, Brady or, you know, whoever. I mean, that's the difference between the upper echelon tier quarterbacks and the rest. Drew Brees makes that throw.
Yeah, but and that's Garoppolo the point I was making doesn't. When you and I went back and forth, you know, last week too. It's just that he hasn't been there in that kind of situation yet. And Mahomes,
but that's not because of the Super Bowl. That's just because he's not as good of a quarterback as Mahomes or Brady or Brees or other guys that make that throw.
I think if he comes back to a Super Bowl again, now that he's got one in his back pocket, I think that he'll make better throws. I think he'll be more relaxed. I think that was one of those where he rushed it. And I think that that's a product of him not being on that stage as a starting quarterback in the league before. From a Mahomes standpoint, you know, he hadn't won one, and you pointed that out. But the fact that he had been through kind of the pressure cooker in a tight game against the Patriots and all those things a year ago, I think it helped him because I don't think he looked great yesterday either.
I think
when they needed him down the stretch, he made play.
Well, how did it help him? He was awful the first three quarters. He was both the door behind his receivers.
Because in the fourth quarter, Barry,
which
is my point, in the fourth quarter when the game's on the line and they need their best players to do their best things, I don't think Jimmy G did, and I think Mahomes did.
I think the difference isn't you know, neither one of them had a lot of big game experience, even though Garoppolo had been to Super Bowls. He didn't play
carrying a clipboard.
Yeah, but I think the big difference was is you knew that the Chiefs felt like they were comfortable being down 20-10 because they had come from behind against the Texans. They had come from behind to get to this point twice in the playoffs, so they knew that they were still in it because they know Mahomes and they know Kelce and Hill. So I think that the confidence in themselves, but I don't know. I think if you put Garoppolo in that same situation next year in the Super Bowl, he probably still misses that throw because he's not as good a quarterback as the rest of these guys are.
I don't think so. I just think
it's so weird that you're defending him in the way that you're doing it when last week you didn't think he was a good quarterback at all.
I didn't say he was a good quarterback at all. I just thought that I wanted to see him perform when the pressure was on the line on the biggest stage in big games, and I hadn't seen that yet. And I was proved to be correct in the fact that to me it looked like he wilted and he wasn't ready for it.
You think missing a deep ball was wilting?
He missed a couple of throws, Barry, and I think that I just didn't think that he looked poised and confident in the pocket. So the difference, as I said all along, was when the stage was the biggest, the lights were the brightest. Fourth quarter, you're right. Mahomes didn't play great for three quarters, but in the fourth quarter when they needed him the most, especially when they went down double digits. He did what he had to do. It wasn't pretty at all times. It wasn't the best balls thrown, but it got to their destination, and he got to the end result they needed. So I just kept looking at that throw going, God, you can't miss it and miss it that badly, that deep ball. Mm. What, do you have any plays that you think were the turning point?
I mean, Kansas City's defense just played well down, I thought, in the fourth quarter, and I don't think they're getting enough credit. But, you know, they had the interception. They had a couple of punts, the turnover on downs. I mean, give them credit. They did really well, especially in that fourth quarter of locking down the Niners' offense. And they didn't. I don't have statistics specifically on what they gave up rushing yards wise. But I mean, it didn't feel like a whole lot, especially if you can three plays in a punt and five plays in a punt. I mean,
to me,
that's the difference was Kansas City's defense, not necessarily that the Niners were the Niners. They ran their same offense.
See, I guess this is where we go back to being us. But the thing that really kind of bothered me was I felt like Kyle Shanahan did it again. I felt like when you're averaging 5 to 6 yards a carry offensively running the football, and suddenly you feel like getting away from the running game, especially when on first down you were gashing them for 5 or 6 yards. I was shocked by that. I thought ball control, you know, they haven't really proven to stop you. You don't have to even get tricky about it and do all the different guys in motion. And sometimes, even if you want to go back to, you know, flipping it to Samuel, that's fine. But just running between the tackles and running in the gaps that they were running in, they were dominant still running the football, dominant enough that you could have run the clock. You were up double figures, and I think it would have put the Chiefs a lot more pressure on the Chiefs than what they did. And I thought Shanahan, I don't know, for the second straight Super Bowl, didn't want to run the football.
I mean, outside of Mostert's 117-yard run, I don't feel like he had his usual game. I mean, this is a guy that rushed for 200 yards. Mm-hmm. I just don't feel like he rushed for 58 yards total.
Debo, you can't get yards unless you hand the ball off.
Debo Samuel was the guy that I felt like.
Mm-hmm, effective.
Yeah. But I don't know. To me, the Niners, at one point when it was 20-10, that feels real comfortable, right? Yeah. But then once you give up that touchdown and it makes it 20-17, now you can't play like it's 20-10 and just run the ball. You have to play to win the game. You have to try to score again. You can't just sit on a 3-point lead against the Chiefs. So I don't fault him for trying to throw the ball when it's 20-17. I don't have a problem with that. It was the fact that they gave up that touchdown to make it 20-17, which makes you have to change the offense.
From the time they picked him off driving, I thought that he got away from the run, and that was huge. The fact that, you know, it had been effective, it obviously would have been more effective if just doing that or doing something close to it, you could have not only taken time off the clock, but you could have put a little bit more desperation and fear in them because of the fact that you knew time was ticking away. You knew you needed two scores. You knew you were in trouble because you were in the fourth quarter.
You asked for the turning point in the game. To me, the turning point in the game was the Chiefs' defense. After Mahomes gives up that interception, then they force a 5 plays and out punt by the Niners and then get the ball back and go down and score. But that stand where they forced a punt after Mahomes threw the interception, that was the turning point in the game because then it was touchdown, 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 ball game. And it really put the pressure on the Niners to have to play with the Chiefs, and you know they can't do that offensively.
Okay.
So to me, that was the turning point. It wasn't, you know, one missed throw by a guy that's not. I mean, he's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. He stays within his system, and because that's a short intermediate passing game, anyways, for them. I don't. Garoppolo doesn't. I haven't looked at his numbers, but he doesn't strike me as a deep ball threat kind of guy.
Oh, they when it's there, they'll take their shots. But
yeah, but that Shanahan Kubiak offense is really a lot of zone blocking and running and bootlegs and short and intermediate crossing routes. And so when you got a you know, just a go route like that, I mean, that doesn't shock me that he missed him. You know, it'd be like Lamar Jackson missing a route like that. Would it shock you that Lamar Jackson would be inaccurate on a ball that deep down the field?
He's a pretty good deep ball thrower. But if you put enough air under it with the steps that he had, he could have run under it. But instead, he missed him that badly, that deep. And so, you know, that's what stuck in my head is the one play that I keep going back to. Yeah. I thought they had it.
I think forcing that punt by the Chiefs defense, huge. I mean, they did not score after that.
Let us know what you think. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back rolling through hour number one, 3 hour show post Super Bowl. It's The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, it's Joel, it's Trey in for Nick as we were kicking around the game itself and breaking it down. I noticed that with the formula and the spread that you had, that you in looking at the game itself, I thought it was going to be real close because I thought that the Chiefs were going to make Mount a furious comeback. But I thought, man, when they got down 10 points and the fact that it looked like, and again, it was really weird because it was in waves, right? Like when the Niners kind of drove the ball right down the field, like you mentioned, the Samuel plays got them going. It looked like they were on a roll. You mentioned the bend not break mentality, kept it to a field goal. That was a win, Niners, but it looked like they kind of set the tone that we can do whatever we want. Chiefs went through, you know, they didn't go three and out, but they didn't get anything their first drive with the ball. And then you're looking at it and you're going, okay, well, it seems like the Niners had threw the first punch. They threw the first haymaker. But then all of a sudden, boom, the Garoppolo interception and the Chiefs got going and they're driving again, already 7-3. And you're thinking, God, if they score a touchdown here, it could completely be different.
Yeah.
And then it leveled off again. And then it looked like the Niners were in control. And then the fourth quarter was all Chiefs. So it looked like it was just a game of waves in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's probably pretty accurate. You know, it was interesting. I felt it was kind of a predictable game almost, right? Like I kept seeing a lot of people. In fact, I tweeted out my prediction on final score would be 28-27 Niners. Mm-hmm. And then I said, don't come talking crap to me about, oh, this tweet aged well if you don't post your prediction. And believe it or not, someone nailed the final score 31-20 Chiefs in that list of people that put. I had 50 something people posted their predictions on that one little thread, but one guy nailed it, 31-20 Chiefs. But a lot of people kept talking about comebacks and, you know, down the stretch, Mahomes wins it because that's what he does.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right. It was waves. It was ebb and flow. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anything was out of the ordinary. It was all very predictable. We said Niners would rush four. They rushed four most of the game. We said that the Chiefs would really focus on loading up the box and trying to stop the run. And that's exactly what they did when you look at what. And the Niners kind of knew that, too, which is why I think they had Samuel running so many of those jet sweeps and end arounds and little, you know, short little, what do they call those, passes in the backfield where they just throw it forward and he, whatever that is, touch pass, whatever it is. That was really the only wrinkle, but I think the Niners knew what the Chiefs wanted to do offensively or defensively. And then it just kind of everything, once everything settled in, then you just felt like that the Chiefs were going to be the Chiefs down the stretch on offense. And there was, you know, nothing was surprised me about this game, really.
I'll say this. I felt great for Andy Reid because everybody you heard from and talked to in football, whether you've ever played for him or not, the guys that were just commenting to a man said, what a great dude. Just a great, great guy that is a phenomenal football man that just didn't have that one final cherry on the top to his career, which was a Super Bowl win. And obviously he got it. But the thing that, you know, we always talk about with Belichick, like give him 2 weeks to prepare and you really could be in trouble. But Orlovsky had a great breakdown. I didn't see him use it on TV, but I retweeted it because he personally put it on Twitter and said it's worth the 3 minutes of your time. And he's so right. He took what normally would be somewhat of a very common takeaway from watching film of the of the Chiefs all year.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if the in Andy Reid's mind, he's going, if you watch this, and we've run this set so many different times with trips on one side, and he explained what all three guys are supposed to do, and he explained where the defensive backs could really take advantage if they kept doing it that way. And it was, simply put, the corner, the corner on the far outside of the trips for the Niners. If they run the play like they've run it all year long, he cuts the route short. He cuts in at the outside receiver, and he's either got a pick or he defends it perfectly because it's 3rd and 15. It was on the long play to mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, the way they've run it all year is, Tyreek Hill is going to go to the middle, and he's going to go to the far corner, and the outside guy's going to cut it into a 15-yard to try and get the first down. So they've seen it all year. So that's what they're expecting. So when he sees the formation, he realizes, "Oh, I've seen this before," and he goes to cut the route and goes and comes up real hard on Sammy Watkins and then goes, "Oh, snap." Because mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill, instead of cutting it to the far corner, cut it to the near corner, and he was wide open. He had tons of room. That was a 3rd and 15 that turned into 45 plus yards and changed the game.
I'm happy for Andy Reid. I really am. He's one of the good guys in football. He's an easy guy to root for, even if he's not your head coach. And I kind of felt bad for him. I mean, he was having a Bill O'Brien-esque run in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He would do some things here and there. Yeah, he got to a Super Bowl, unlike Bill O'Brien. But you just felt like he was, you know, some things would always happen. He would either mismanage it or something would just go wrong. So I'm happy for him that he finally got over the hump. And it did remind me, somebody posted something on Instagram where it was like, how long has Andy Reid been a coach? And it took him this long to win a Super Bowl, and people are out here giving up on their dreams in 6 months and quitting. Just keep grinding, man. Just keep at it, because you think about how long Andy Reid has been a coach.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that's why people are like, are you going to keep coaching? Because it's been that long. He should be retiring soon.
Yeah.
And he just now got his first Super Bowl. So I'm so happy for him. That's good for him. Now he's a lock for the Hall of Fame, for
he
sure.
He really is.
And the punt, pass, and kick Hall of Fame, too.
That for sure, he should already be there. And then when you look at just overall, hearing Tyrann Mathieu and seeing what he did a year ago when he was with the Texans and the reason why he left and saying he wanted to win it all and the fact that he could see that through to fruition. What I wanted to see, and I wish someone would ask it, is when you say, because he was so, all of a sudden, he was so into answering anybody's comments and questions and everything like that. And I really wanted to see someone go, so you left the Texans for the Chiefs. And Andy Reid, can you give us the biggest differences between Bill O'Brien and Andy Reid and why you left that culture and the differences between the Chiefs? Because I just wanted to see if he would go. Because obviously when he first left, he wasn't shy about saying the locker room and all the other things, why he left Houston and why he picked Kansas City. I was just kind of curious when he was all caught up in the moment and was open to answering questions, if someone would have dropped that down there, if he might have just unloaded a little.
I don't think he would have.
You don't?
I mean, Tyrann Mathieu's a pretty classy dude.
Oh, he's a classy dude, right? But he's also very honest.
To be honest with you, I don't think guys like that are even thinking about the Texans. I think they're thinking about the Chiefs and the Super Bowl. And I don't think anybody in that locker room is thinking about the Texans, to be honest with you. I think only Texans media and fans will be thinking, damn. You know, it's just like with Kubiak. Now, I imagine it's a little bit different of Kubiak when he won the Super Bowl. It's kind of, there's that little extra like, yeah, you fired me and then look what I did. But I think with players, it's probably a little bit different, especially when they're in that moment. But you're right in the sense that I would like to be a fly on the wall if it ever comes up, when he and Deshaun Watson are having a conversation just somewhere off on their own. Now, that would be interesting, because that's when the real truth would come out. Because I still think Tyrann Mathieu, he might say, yeah, it wasn't for me, this, that, or the other. I don't know that he dogs Bill O'Brien, because in this league,
Dog Bill O'Brien. I just wanted the honesty. I wanted the honesty of saying the difference culturally, you know, the way they do things, you know, Andy Reid's philosophy, which to a man, and Tyrann Mathieu after the game was saying it over and over again. He goes, even from the standpoint of racial equality and opportunities that he's given, whether it be Eric Bieniemy or people on his staff, but he's like, he's just a down to earth guy you can talk to in the locker room, you know, at practice, in between if things are going wrong or going badly. Mahomes said the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's why Mahomes has said,
he's seen it all. I mean,
you look at Deshaun, but you worry about him because you know that deal's coming up and you want him to be your franchise quarterback for the long haul. Mahomes already came out and said, I want to be in Kansas City for the long haul. And I don't know how many times in the postgame he said, I love this guy right here, and pointed to Andy Reid. That's what you want if you're a small market team like Kansas City.
Let's see how long that lasts.
That's huge.
It's the NFL. This will go down pretty quickly.
Okay.
I mean, the Chiefs could be relevant for another year or two, and then it'll start to fall apart. I don't know. You kind of feel that way. Maybe not, but maybe this is the beginning of a dynasty. But he's saying the right things now. To me, guys like Mahomes, the money's going to talk at the end of the day.
Frank Clark was talking dynasty and a whole lot more. He had some.
Really?
That guy right there is a guy that wasn't holding back. You talk about the classic of Tyrann Mathieu. Oh, my goodness. If you thought that he had started up during the course of the week talking about some things, he didn't hold back after the game when they got that victory. We got a couple of those quotes as well. We'll start hour number two and get you some of those. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana. Give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.